is that we need to send cards to. We don't want to ignore anyone. I want to remind you again, and I see it's written on the chalkboard up here, seek first the kingdom of God. First, priority. Top priority. Are you listening to me? It is not the top priority in most of our lives. I hate to tell you that. Isn't that true? But that's His word. Seek, look for, first of all, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all of these things that we get so anxious about will be added unto us. And we want to welcome our visitor from up in New York. She's a house guest of Don and Joyce. Your name just skipped me. Tell me. Richardson, yes. Jeanette, thank you. We're so glad you're here. But you see, we get so uptight about so many things. But if we seek first the kingdom of God, the things we need, not necessarily the things we want, because a lot of times we want things that we don't really need. Come on, say amen. Amen. I'm right, whether you agree or not. But God has promised to supply and meet our needs. So I want to talk to you some more this morning about righteousness. And early, these first scriptures have to do with prayer and righteousness. So if you'll open your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 5, I don't think we've talked about this. My notes are always in such a mess, you know, I think, oh, I'll remember that. But before I get to my house, I say, well, where'd I leave off? See, I'll admit my weaknesses and failures. James chapter 5 and verse 16. Confess your faults, trespasses to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, I hope you realize that prayer is the most important activity of your Christian life. You don't know someone you never talk to.
All right.
And you can spend time with them. You see, people say prayer. Well, some people say, think of eloquence and big words, pompous speaking. God could care less about your big words, your pompous speaking. He looks at our hearts. He is not interested in our effects upon those around about us. Prayer with simplicity is what He is speaking of. And here we want to lift out the word righteous. The prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, I want to read to you, and you can look back if you desire, but we won't hang there at all. Psalm 66 and verse 18 says a great truth. Psalm 66 and verse 18, thank you, says this. And this is really, we need to read this over and over and think about it. Psalm 66 and verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, iniquity is sin, darkness, disobedience, and is the exact opposite of righteousness. Iniquity is sin and darkness. Righteousness is righteousness, right relationship, and the light of God's Word.
Yes.
Now, put these together. Think with me. The prayer of a righteous man avails much, but if I have iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That is a serious verse of Scripture. And iniquity doesn't necessarily mean that you've committed adultery or that you've shot somebody. There's a lot of different kinds of sin included in iniquity. Anything that displeases God and displays unrighteous conduct is iniquity. Sin. You see, that is concentrated. We all sin. We'll come to that in a minute because there's a lot of things we need to understand about that. But now look back at 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to be spending some time in 1 John. But 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20 says this. if our heart does not condemn us and we have confidence toward God. Now put these three together in your thinking. The prayer of a righteous man avails much. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But if my heart doesn't condemn me, then I have confidence with God. A good preacher could put those three sermons together, and the three verses together, and have a powerful sermon. Think on those three now. The prayer of a righteous man avails much. That means God will hear him and answer. Not necessarily, he doesn't always do it the way we want it done. But his ways are higher than ours. The prayer of a righteous man avails much. If I regard iniquity in my heart, he won't even hear me. But if my heart condemns us not, condemns me not, I have confidence toward God. Everybody understands that? Now, verse 23 there, I'm still in 1 John chapter 3. Beloved, if a heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandment and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And I want to tell you, and you can argue if you want to, but I'm right. Love is the key to righteousness in the church. Does everybody see that?
Yeah.
Righteousness is right relationship with him and right relationship with one another. And that right relationship is that we love him with all our heart and that we love one another. Now that would keep much of the many of the problems and much of the hard feeling out of the church if we really loved one another, because whomever you love, you're not going to want to hurt them. Now think on that for a minute. If you love someone, you want to help them and bless them. You don't want to hurt them. And yet there are lots and lots of problems. Matthew 5:44, you needn't look, because you know what it's there says. You're supposed to love your enemies. Hello? Love your enemies. And pray for those that mistreat you. That, friends, is as far from normal Christian attitude as East is from West. And you know why it is? It's because we don't read and think. And think and read. We don't search out the truth of the Scripture. Now, I'm not fussing at you anymore, and I'm fussing at me. And this is, there is no condemnation. This is instruction. The man who meditates on the law is blessed. That's what First Psalm says, who meditates on it. You read it, you think about it. And you bring it up, and you think about it again. And the more you think about it, the more precious it becomes, and the more you desire to please him by doing what the Word of God says that we're to do. If our hearts condemn us not, now, there's a verse in Proverbs 4:23 that says, keep your heart with all diligence. 66 times in the King James Bible, the word diligence is mentioned. That's one for every book of the Bible. Diligence. You see, we need to be diligent in our church activities. We need to be diligent in our giving. We need to be diligent in our witnessing. We need to be diligent in every area of Christian activity that would cause our light to shine. See, it all goes back. Jesus said, let your light shine. The greatest responsibility is our witness. You know, if people see something in us that appeals to them, peace, love, joy, rest, confidence, then they're likely to say, well, I wonder what that is in that person. And when Jesus told the disciples that you're the salt of the earth, he was telling them that you are that which preserves. You are that which flavors. You are that which continues in good condition. the light and the salt of the earth. And when he said that to the disciples, he was saying that to us. If you're following him, you're his disciple. Your name's not Matthew, Mark, John, Nathaniel. It doesn't have to be your name. Your name can be Chris. Your name can be Bill. Your name can be John. Your name can be anything. If you're a follower of his, you are a disciple, because a disciple is someone who follows another to learn their lifestyle, their attitudes, their knowledge, and to follow after that which they're learning from them. The verse there in 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. Everybody all right? I don't want to tell you anything that's wrong. 2:29. I would rather die before I can walk out that door. Now you hear me. I would rather die before I could walk out that door than to lead anyone astray, away from the truth that's in the Bible.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you, Father.
It has to be pure.
It does.
It has to be according to what's written here. And a lot, I was thinking as we were singing, I don't know what just came to me. There's some errors that 1 John addresses. We may get to them. But there's some errors on your television every day.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I hear preachers say, God has such a wonderful plan for your life that you're not supposed to be sick.
Uh-huh.
That you're not supposed to suffer loss.
That's right.
And I think about Nelda Long, who was the most godly one human being I have ever known in all my life. I never heard she worked with us. Mary Elizabeth, you bear this out. She worked with us for years. I never heard her say an unkind word about anybody.
Thank you, Lord.
And her fifth grade children honored her. She had the best discipline, and she never raised her voice hardly above just kind of a loud whisper. And they would sit on the edge of their chairs to hear what she said. And she lay on a bed with cancer for months and months and months. See, being a godly person is not necessarily a ticket away from sadness, sickness, or trouble.
That's right.
But you hear that. How many of you hear that?
Yeah.
But you see, you can't believe that, because that is a contradiction of biblical truth. And you think about what the disciples went through. Well, let me go on. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 29. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Now look at each word. Righteous. He is righteous. We know that. Christ was God in the flesh. We need to always remember that he was God in a carpenter shop. He was God in a manger in Bethlehem. He was God having fellowship with tax collectors and prostitutes. He was God. But he was righteous. Perfect. Beautiful. You just think about Jesus and what he was and what he was like. Beautiful. But he was absolutely righteous. His character was perfect. Now, you know this, don't you? If you didn't, I just told you. You know what I'm talking about. Perfect. God in flesh. Now, we are not only, if we know that, you see, righteousness in daily life, as we saw righteousness in his daily life, is a greater witness than talking about it. Talk's cheap. Obedience may be costly. That's why the church in some areas of the world is in persecution, because they are obeying. That's what brought Richard Wurmbrand into such a life of heroism. And that's one of the most beautiful stories. And it's not a story, it's an account of a man who gave his life in obedience to Christ and had a worldwide influence on churches all over the world. They told him to quit preaching. He wouldn't quit preaching. So they put him in prison, and they punished him physically, but he survived. And God dismissed him, let him out, and he went all over the world giving that testimony. And it was wonderful. He was here, he was at the Catholic Church, he was in the Lutheran Church, he was at some of the Baptist churches. He was all over the place giving his testimony about his obedience to the righteousness of God. But it must be practiced. Now, I want you to notice one nice little word in that verse, born. 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 Everybody sees that? It means the new birth. You will not come into the kingdom of God unless you're born again. And when you are born again, old things pass away, all things become new. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. So those who are born, you see, everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. He's talking about the church, born of Him. You see, there's a verse in 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 22. It says that let me just share that with you. We've done it, but I want to do it just to mention it again because it's such a beautiful illustration of this new birth. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 22. Peter is writing to Christians who are in persecution, who are scattered about. And he says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. That is seed that won't rot, seed that won't fade away. And that seed is the Word of God, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. You know, that's something we need to think about, too. Heaven and earth will pass away. What's going to last? Come on, what's going to last? The Word of God. Isaiah said it and Peter quotes it. Heaven and earth will pass away. Everything but the Word of God will endure forever. And you know what? The greatest emphasis on any church of any denomination should be on the Word of God as it is contained right here. I would argue that no matter with whom or what. If that's the only thing that's going to last, that's the thing we'd better be seeing about. Amen? And the Bible itself said that's going to last. And in Peter mentions love again. See, one who is born again will be in right relationship with God and with each other. Now, that's a big calling, friends, because you all know people that you don't like. Now, don't get so holy. Thank you, Patricia. Anybody else honest? We all know people that we shun and turn away from if we can. We all know people that we criticize and talk about. Thank you, Ned. Anybody else honest? You see, that has no place in a right relationship with God. I have my problems there. Anybody else? Thank you. I'm glad I'm not alone. We'll catch you, you know, pray for us, and we'll catch up with those of you who are so holy. He will be in right relationship with God and with each other. Righteousness, the kingdom is righteousness. And righteousness is right relationship. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3 amplify, they magnify, and really emphasize chapter 2, verse 29. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. And I can just see John, oh, behold, he says, glory to God, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. That we should be called the children of God, and we are. If we're born again, we're the children of God. Uh-huh. Think with John. He gets real happy about this thing. Yes. Therefore, the world doesn't know us, didn't know Him. Beloved, we are children of God. It hasn't yet been revealed. You've heard me talk about this, and you're sick about it. You're thinking, I wish you'd shut up about it. Well, we know when we see Him, we be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And he who has this hope in Him purifies himself, even as He is pure. See, there's another ticket of righteousness, that He will purify Himself even as He is pure. That's a real challenge, isn't it? If you're going to purify yourself, you've got to lay aside everything that's impure. And I would be willing to say that the most impure things that bother us are gossip, fault-finding, criticism, judgmental, fussing, and hallelujah. Thank you. That's not pure. That's not pleasing to God because it means we're not right relationship with one another. I want you to just think with me for a minute. You need to look, but there's a way to purify your heart. You say, ooh, how can't? Yeah, you can. If we don't, it's because we don't want to. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and verse 3 through 5 there, talk about, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not flesh, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, here's the way you do it. Casting down arguments. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. When you start to think how you would like to get even with somebody, when you begin to talk about how they aggravate you, when you begin to talk about how you would rather just not deal with that person, when that thought starts, and everything, every evil thing you do starts with a thought. That's right. It starts in your head, gets down in your heart, then it becomes actions, and actions can be sin. Actions determine your character, and your character determines your destiny. Have I ever given you a copy of that printout? I'm sure I have. I've given out probably 2,000 or 3,000 copies of it. But I can get some more. It's good to put it right inside your Bible. Watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch the actions, it becomes your character. Watch your character, it determines your destiny.
Yes, Lord.
All right? I'm not off my subject. You begin to think, I don't like that person. I'd like to get even. I wish they'd let me alone. I just would love to get them told. There is something that you can do. We can do if we want to. We can dismiss that, cast that down, and think about Jesus. Let Him have our thoughts. What are you going to think about Him? I'm going to think about that blood that flowed out of His veins. I'm going to think about that spear that they're putting aside so that that blood could flow out and wash me from my sins. I'm going to think about this blessed, precious fellowship we have at church and Sunday school. I'm going to think about how He's blessed me all the days of my life. I'm going to think about how He's met every need. I'm going to think about praising and worshiping. And you know, friend, let me tell you something. That is a discipline. And it ain't easy. But the Bible never tells us anything to do that we cannot do. Turn a couple of books, three or four books over if you want to, or you can just listen to the Philippians chapter 4. There's a good recipe there for getting our hearts right and practicing righteousness. I have not gotten off my topic. Philippians chapter 4 is so beautiful. Paul is talking about that in chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Finally, brethren, I love those other verses, but I don't have time. Finally, brethren, he says, the final thing I want to tell you, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, whatsoever in good report, if there is any virtue, if you can find something that's right, and if there is anything that you can find to praise Him about, and you're dead if you can't find something to praise Him about, I can tell you. If you've got food in your refrigerator, you can praise Him. Amen? If you've got transportation, praise Him. If you've got shoes on your feet, praise Him. You were reading this Mexico newsletter that there were people that don't have shoes down there about 180 miles from Texas. Is that unbelievable? There's always something to thank Him for. He says, if there's anything that you can praise Him about, he said, think on these things. Meditate on these things. How many of you are tired of this kind of stuff? Come on, be honest. You know what, friends? Listen to me. We need this. This is very practical stuff. We need to think on the things that are lovely. We used to sing a little chorus. I don't know if we flung it in here or not, but it said, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all He has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. See, think on the goodness of Jesus. Now look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. 1 John chapter 3. Little children, that's so sweet. Commentaries tell us that John was a very old man when he wrote these three epistles, and that he had to be carried kind of up by others. as he would be moving about, and that the people he was writing to were much younger than he was. Little children, he said. Isn't that sweet? Little children. Let me find my verse. Let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he, Christ, is righteous. Now, there was a tremendous error that was going about at that time, and John wrote his epistles to correct the errors that were being taught at that time to Christians. And one of these errors was, false teachers were saying, you don't have to obey anything. There's no need for the law. You can't cast the law away, friends, because our lovely Jesus fulfilled it. That's the most precious thing Jesus did. He fulfilled the law. If he lives in us, you don't have to have it printed out somewhere. You have it in you. And you live out what he has fulfilled in us. But they said, well, there's no need for the law. All that passed away. And another error. Now listen to this. God doesn't even see the sin of his people. I've heard junk like that, pretty much close to that. God doesn't see the sin of his people because his people are in Christ. And they're free from it. He doesn't even see it. Can you think of anything any worse to tell somebody? They can keep on sinning as long as they believe in him. But John has already settled that, you see, here in verse 7. Let no one deceive you. For he who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he, Christ, is righteous. The agnostics were there, and they said, you can't know anything for sure. That was one of the chief errors of that day.
That's right.
And I've said this before, and I get shouting happy every time I say it. This little epistle, 1 John, has 25 things that say, and we know, and we know, and we know. Doesn't that bless you? It's not think, maybe, hope, so, might be, and could have been. And we know. That makes a good Bible study. I've got a printout on those 25 things, and we know. And you know, it's like Paul said, I know in whom I've believed. I'm not guessing, I'm not hoping, I'm not thinking, I'm not looking around, I know. Do you know? I know, he said, in whom I believe. And John addresses it, and we know 25 different times. See, this enlarges on the other things that we've talked about. Now, what kind of sin, you see, what is the sin? The error, a lot of it was, well, just what is this sin? If you believe, you don't have to worry about that. Now, I want you to look with me, if you will, to Galatians chapter 5. I have 10:20. Is that what somebody else says? Is that right?
Yes.
Thank you. I want you to look at Galatians chapter 5. And we're talking about sin. It isn't pretty, but we need to talk about this. Verse 19, let's look at them. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Now, I'll tell you, there ain't nothing missing from that bunch of sin. That is a complete catalog of that bunch of sin. And you see that, don't you? Now, verse 22 there, the fruit of the Spirit. That's what falls off your tree when somebody shakes it. You understand? You see, you shake a lemon tree, you're going to get lemons. You shake a Christian tree, you're going to get Christian fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, and you know what those are. Love, peace, joy, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. You say, well, I'm not in fornication. I ain't doing any of those things. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. Or fall, yeah. Back to 4, or 2:4, excuse me, forward to Ephesians chapter 4, and I want to share with you verse 17. I therefore say this and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles, and that was not just Gentiles. They put that as a name for all those who were not in the faith. In the futility of their mind, he says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their heart. And now, putting on Christ, putting off the old things, and in the interest of time, I want you to look at verse 25, put aside lying. How many of you know it's real easy to tell a lie? Thank you, Chris. Anyone else? Hallelujah, Bert. It's an easy thing to tell a lie, isn't it? It really is. And I don't see in the Bible where there's any classification of lies. Do y'all? Anything that's not the truth is a lie. Okay, there's lying. And the next verse, there's anger. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. It's all right to get angry, but you get over it quickly. There's stealing. If you're working in an office and you're taking home paper clips and office supplies, anyway, it's things like that, you see, that's stealing. And you know, we really steal from God when we don't give the proper amount to Him. Let no corrupt word. Boy, we need a bar of soap. Did I share with you all this with you all? I read somewhere, I don't remember whether it was before last Sunday or since, that the Bible is God's bar of soap for the cleansing of His body. Did I share that with you? If you need a bar of soap to cleanse your body, how much more does He need a bar of soap to cleanse His body, which is you? And has to be done every day. Now listen to this. Bitterness, corrupt word. Verse 31, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. Be put away from you with all malice and be kind to one another. That is the greatest blessing, that when we can be kind to one another. Anybody ever call you on the phone, you'd like to jump through the line and just knock the head off? But instead, see, if you are practicing the righteousness of God, you will bring that thought into captivity of Christ and realize that that person who's calling you probably really needs to talk to you. Boy, it's quiet in here. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another. I'm talking to you about the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. I have not gotten off my topic at all. You see, Ephesians 4:17, starting down there and continuing through that chapter. And notice that these are the qualifications for righteousness. Look at verse 20. Well, I did that. Look at chapter 5 of Ephesians and verse 1 through 7. This is righteousness we're talking about. Be imitators of God. An imitator is someone who does what someone else does and looks like someone else does. Walk in love. Let all fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, get rid of that and replace that with the giving of thanks, because you could never thank Him enough for all He's done and all He is. We don't have time nor space in our vocabulary for that kind of junk when we could replace it with thanksgiving. And then he talks about the wrath of God coming on those who do not walk in the righteousness that has been revealed to them. 1 John chapter 3, now 2 minutes, we'll start this. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10. In this, that is, those who are born of God, in this, what he has said in verses 4 through 9, whoever is born of God does not sin. You see, and the error was, well, you can go ahead and sin. God doesn't even see it. You're in Christ. It doesn't matter. See, and that sounds good to somebody that wants to hoop it up. That sounds good to somebody that is not really interested in holy living. So they were believing this junk. whoever is born of God, he's saying if you're born of God, you do not sin, for his seed, that's Christ's seed, his word. Whoever is born of God, his seed remains in him and he cannot sin. Now you say, but you know, the same little 1 John says, if we say we have no sin, we lie, we deceive ourselves. But we have a great high priest. We confess our sins.
Yeah.
And you see, there's this one thing to sin and another thing to sin willfully. We need every day to pray. You know, the Lord's Prayer covers it good, doesn't it?
Amen.
Forgive us our trespasses, Lord, as we have already forgiven those who trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It's perfect. That one prayer is perfect for our cleansing and cleanliness and righteousness. Whoever does not pray, and I'm going to read this and I'm going to shut up, I promise. Verse 10 of that chapter there. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he of God who does not love his brother. See, love is the foundation for Christianity. Love is the foundation for discipleship. Love is the foundation for righteousness. You have to love the lovely, love the unlovely, love one another, pray for one another, forgive one another, and let our light shine. And you know, you can't just take this lightly and glibly. You have to meditate on these things. You have to want to do these things. But the only way that our light is going to shine is for us to love one another, love God, and practice His righteousness. I mean, you know, you can't argue what the Bible says. You may not like what I'm saying, but you can't argue what the Bible says. And the Bible says this so clearly. I have Matthew 22. Let me read this to you real quick as you're getting your things together. Matthew 22, verse 34 and 40. You remember the young Pharisee came to him and said, what's the greatest commandment? He thought he was going to trip Jesus, you see.
Yeah.
But Jesus said, the greatest commandment is that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart,
right,
all your soul, and all your might, and all your strength.
Yeah.
He didn't ask about the second one because he didn't want to hear it. And Jesus said, and you must love your brother as yourself. And then he said the most astounding thing. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. The only key to righteousness, you see, is our loving one another and demonstrating that in our daily conduct. And you know what? One of the great problems is gossip. Proverbs talks about it a whole lot. That our tongue is our greatest hindrance to the character that God has called us into. I pray for you. Will you pray for me? We need each other, don't we? But the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Shall we talk about peace and joy? Is that all right? Thank you. Well, we'll talk about peace and joy as being part of the kingdom of God. And righteousness, you see, is the keystone. If you don't have righteousness, you don't have any peace. If you don't have righteousness and peace, you're not going to have any joy. So they're not as much probably about that as the others. If you don't want to buy that Nevertheless tape, we'll bring them back so we can continue to circulate them because it's the best thing I've nearly ever heard. How many of you? It's wonderful. Thank you for coming.